thing, and sometimes the scriptures mean another. So in leaving the 99, in other words, those were here at the church or whatever in the fold, I went to look for the one that had wandered off. In other words, when he say that wandered off, in other words, he don't know where it's at. It's not one that say left the church. It's a lot of time people leave the church and people say, why you don't go to church for that one that's lost? Well, that one must have not been of us. They have continued with us. But the one that's lost is the one that should be with the herd, would be with the herd, but something had scattered it away. Some difficulty had stopped it. Something had hindered it from being able to get back to the herd. The title of our sermon is Jesus Sprinkling His People. Thy Will Be Done, Part 3. Jesus Sprinkling His People. So God does His will, whether we want to, whether we receive it or not. Nobody can resist His will. So God's will is being done. When we wake and come to consciousness, we're able to assist in Him doing that will. In other words, we start to begin to help. All the way back in Genesis of what He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, because God Elohim is a family. And so God is forming character in us. He's forming something in us. God's doing it. God does everything. God does everything. And a lot of people exclude God from some things when it's convenient for them. When it's convenient for them, then they exclude God out of those things. But then when it glorifies them, or whatever, they call upon to bring God in when they can use God the way they want to use God. But we see this morning in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel is preaching to a people that were in captivity. These were the ones that heard the voice of God or listened at what God said was to leave Israel while God judged Israel, while He judged Judah, and go into Babylon. But then here Ezekiel's preaching that there was going to be a day that God was going to restore His people and give them a clean heart. He was going to wipe the slate clean, in other words. It comes in the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, in the 25th verse, where He talks to him. He says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. So, sprinkling, that was an idea of, you see atonement throughout the Old Testament in which God sprinkled blood or sprinkled water, and the two are synonymous in that. And we use in that word blood and water there in the context of sprinkling. And what that is a hadiesis, a hendiesis. In other words, the expression of an idea by the use of usually two independent words connected by and instead of the usual combination of independent words as its modifier. In other words, like nice and warm. Y'all said it was nice and warm in here. And I said blood and water. So sometimes you see in the scripture where it says He sprinkled His blood upon us. And in other places He sprinkled His water upon us. Two independent words, blood meaning one thing, water meaning, but they meaning the same. That expression is for the same thing, that it's going to do cleansing and purify. It's going to sanctify His people. Unless we have His blood applied to our lives, we can't be cleansed. That's what makes us whole. That's what redeems us. But then we see where it's the water, He says, that cleanses us. He says He's going to sprinkle clean water upon us. So this is a process that He's doing. And I told Sister Harris after we were coming, I say, Sister Harris, you may not understand this or some things that God has to, as you go along, open up your understanding. Jesus told His disciples there were some things that He wanted to tell them, but He couldn't tell them at that time because they couldn't receive it. It's a lot of things in the Christian lingo, symbolism, the Christian doctrine in the Bible that a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people come in the church and try to use those words to try to profess this, but they hadn't grown to where that scripture has been assimilated by them where they understand that. They're counterfeiting up until that time. We have this one guy that's running for president that wants to become the president. Great counterfeiter. Great counterfeiter, great, I would say, pseudo-Christian, anti-Christ-like. Now, he's never going to accept blame for anything he does, but he's far above everybody else he seems to be, arrogantly and proud. He went to Liberty University, and he was making a speech there. In the speech at Liberty University, what he said was, he was reading from 2 Corinthians and chapter and verse. And then the press came back and said some things about that. What strikes you as strange there? Us true Christians understand and know that. What's the problem there? It's just like when the people were fighting, the two groups of Israelites was fighting one another, and when they was trying to go to the other side of the fords and cross the river, they would ask one of them to say Shibboleth, and instead they would say Sibboleth. Because it was the pronunciation of words. If this guy was such a true Christian as he portrays himself to be, or says that he is, he wouldn't have ever said 2 Corinthians, chapter and verse. He would have said 2 Corinthians. Anybody in here calls it 2 Corinthians, or do we all call it 2 Corinthians? And then when the press came and asked him about this, he blamed it on Tony Perkins. He said, well, Tony Perkins gave me that to read. Okay, now you're fessing up to that you're not as smart as you think you are. You're not truly a Christian, but now you want to shift the blame to somebody else. Tony might have thought that you were who you were, that you were a Christian, and that when he put 2 Corinthians down there, you would read it as 2 Corinthians and not 2 Corinthians. But you want to shift the blame, so you don't know the lingo. A lot of people come in the church, they could do the talking in tongues, but they're false tongues. See, that's why we don't depend on a sign. An adulterous generation looking for a sign. We have to look and see whether this person, we have to judge over a period of time. Sprinkling doesn't saturate all at once. Anybody ever sprinkle your chicken or sprinkle something with salt or pepper or whatever? It gives us that flavor or that taste, but you don't put the whole thing, you don't douse it in there. So sprinkling, they used blood, and we'll do that in class as we do Bible study. But they used the blood. They would take a hyssop, or they'll take a vine, and they would spread or sprinkle the altar thing. I don't want to get in the whole thing. But sprinkling, when he says sprinkle you with water, it was going to be a process in which you were cleansed by the word of God. They were going to be cleansed by the word of God. Those that were brought back and put in the land. Those that are placed in the church, God's going to sprinkle you with water. And you washed by the word of God. That's what it is, being washed or cleansed by the word of God. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So it's going to be a process where you learn it over a period of time. The sprinkling occurs over a period of time. And that 25th verse, though, as he said, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. 26th verse, a new heart also I will give you, and a new conscience. In other words, there's something to be done before verse 25, sprinkling of the clear water upon you. That thus the reading scripture in which we read, Acts 2:38. It says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to turn from your sin. You have to stop what you're doing. You have to stop your manner of life. You have to live a different life. This guy doesn't live a different life that I was telling you about. It's like when I get out of the shower or whatever and put on deodorant, put on my clothes and everything and go somewhere. But what happens if I've been working all day and I'm coming in and I have to go somewhere, I put a little deodorant on and I put my clothes on? What's the problem there? He can't sprinkle clean water upon a filthy individual. He says he's going to cleanse you from your filth. You have to first cleanse the filth out or you're going to stink even worse. That's what's happening in the United States. A lot of the false Christians are stinking this nation up that much more by using scripture, by using the name of Jesus Christ. He says, them that name the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. You can't live the way you used to live. You can't do the things you used to do. You can't live with that same evil conscience, with that same outward, that same inward way. He has to give you a new heart. That's why it says, repent and be baptized. The baptism is a washing away of all that old filth. For the removal, for the remission of sins. If something's in remission, it's being removed. It's going away. 36, the 36th chapter as we're talking here leads into the next few chapters where he's talking about the dry bones. And a lot of people love to hear the preacher preach on the dry bone, about the hip bone connected to the leg bone and the ankle bone, and then the wind gets into the spirit. But before you can receive life, you have to repent, turn from your sin. You can't receive the Holy Ghost. He says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you will receive the Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit is what give it life. Before Ezekiel could preach and give life to the bones, before God puts life in the bones, he said, speak to the bones. Well, before he does that, we have to clear the foundation. If you're changing the brakes on your car or whatever, you have to make sure everything is clear and clean. Everything, the drums are cleared, maybe pray some brake cleaner on it. Make sure it's a clean slate there. Before you do anything, before you fix your dinner or whatever, you have to make sure the utensils are clean that you're about to use. Make sure that the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life. He's going to apply the water, but your life has to be clean. He has to turn you around. So what happens here, I said we was going to try to come back to where Deacon Hubbard had read the opening scripture from. And that opening scripture, what he read came from Mark, the 6th chapter, starting at the 34th verse, I think, where he started at. It says, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the village, country round about in the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. That's not a Christian thought. It seems as a Christian. It seems as the people nowadays wanting people to fend for themselves. They can get their own health care. They can do this. They can pull themselves up by the bootstrap. That's not signs of a true disciple. If you would keep reading. See, that's why he's sprinkling us for the priesthood. He's getting us ready. That's why I say we can do the work of Christ. If his will be done in our lives, we have to imitate Jesus Christ. If we are royal priesthood, we have to do what Jesus Christ did. We have to feed the people. We have to help them. As James says, when somebody says, depart, and he'll pray and be warm, he says, if you have it, give to that person instead of just how much you'll pray for them and this and that. You need to be able to do something. That's why he says we should work hard so we'll be able to help others. What Jesus said in that next verse is, he says, why don't y'all feed him? He says, he answered and said, give ye them to eat. And they said to him, how shall we go and buy 200 penny worth? See, they was thinking in the physical. You see, Jesus always talks in the spiritual. And he was able to provide for them. That's when he did the miracle of feeding the multitude of thousands. probably was 20,000. When he said the 4,000 or 5,000, he was just counting men, not women and children. So if we're spiritual, if our lives are, we're trying to become spiritual and we're being sprinkled with water, as God's will be done in our lives, we start do the will of God. We'll start feeding people. We'll start giving people the word of God. We'll start getting out and helping people. We'll put our backs to the grindstone. That's what we need to do instead of just talking. To be a priesthood, if we're being cleansed, we need to do the work of God. He says, you feed them. You feed the people. And so what Jesus wants us to do as he sprinkles our lives or cleanses our lives is that the ingatherer regenerates us. As I was saying, you be invigorated when you drink water. You dehydrate if you don't. But we see the water is a regeneration. In other words, it's giving you life. And that's why I say that's a sermon that attaches to this sermon, that his will being done in our lives, that Jesus is doing this. He's going to give us a new life as he sprinkles us with this water. So you can't learn to be a Christian just in a moment. It takes time. It takes time to develop faith. You grow from faith to faith. You grow in grace. You grow in virtue and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So this sprinkling is a process. It's as the woman took a little leaven and leavened dough. Then the leaven that spread throughout the dough became, it made the whole thing leaven. Well, as Jesus Christ gives and places his word in your heart, you should hunger and thirst after his righteousness. He says, if any man be athirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his bellies will flow rivers of living water. If you hungering and thirsting for Jesus Christ, if you leave out of here and don't just go home and lay down or just go home and watch television and go home and do all these other things. But during the week, you need to give this word to somebody else. You need to get busy. An idle mind is a workshop for the devil. But if you would take this and dig up your fallow ground, he would give you more words. He would give you, you'll become a channel. When you start to tell this to other people, you start to give this word, you start to let your light so shine, then he's going to re-fortify that you're losing. He's going to keep giving you that life. He's going to keep sprinkling you. So you would need to go back and read some, or you would need to go back and hear the preaching. You won't forsake the assembling together of yourselves at that time because you need something to fight. When I was listening on the way up here at a guy that he was listening, that he was having a call-in show. And as they were calling in, he was supposedly answering the questions, but they stumped him with two or three questions, and he gave the wrong answers, I think. Because one of them asked him about Ishmael, and was that the Christians too? Were they part of that national thing that God was going to be having saved? And a lot of them tried to exclude the Arabs. Just like this guy that I told you that's running for president, he's trying to exclude Hispanics and Muslims. Isn't Hispanics and Muslim our brothers? We have to take the bad with the good. In other words, God has to sort them out. The wheat and tare grow up together. If we said that we're this type nation, we can't stop immigration. We can't stop taking in the refugees. We have to trust God and deal with what we say, who we say we are. Yeah, there will be cities that get bombed. There's going to be people and things that happen. That's just part of the works of what's going on in the world. But we still have to be faithful to who we are. We can't stop being faithful to who we are and what we are. If all men are brothers. It's just like the framers of the Constitution that say that all men were created equal, but yet still I could have slaves. That's a little bit hypocritical. If you were created equal, what makes you more than I am? That mentality is developing. That guy, he has that mentality. I don't know whether God allowed him to win presidency or not. But by watching him and the people that followed him, I can gauge the Christianity. I can gauge the people of this nation and see that it has to cave. God has to purge this nation and cleanse it, but he has to bring the scattered people up here also. In the book of Peter, when God talks about the scattered elect, first epistle of Peter, first chapter 1 through 2, Peter says, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the refugees scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification by the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. They use blood. And you remember I tell you about blood and water. Who are chosen accordingly. Let me read that out of another version. He says, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. So we see here this all nations, no matter what nation it is, whatever creed it is, he says, go ye into all nations and preach the gospel. Whoever is baptized, in other words, whoever is sprinkled, whoever has this water, whoever comes unto me, he shall be saved. Baptize and make disciples of that person. They are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I don't know who the elect is. But God knows who he has chosen, so I can't be selective in who I preach the gospel to. Whatever he be, Hindu, Muslim, or whatever, I have to preach the gospel. God does the work. See, we're trying to do God's work here. And God just told us to preach. The results are in God's hand. Thy will be done. His will be done. But we just need to listen and do what God tells us to do. So that's what Peter is saying. He's speaking to all of them who have been saved, who have been sprinkled to this, because Abraham was the father of what? Many nations. He said he was going to make Ishmael a nation. Well, this guy that was answering the question, he was trying to get away from the fact that in the end time, that God was speaking to Jew or Gentile. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, on this Acts 2:38, the qualification was that anybody that would repent and be baptized and believe in the name of Jesus Christ. That was the qualification. God had called as many he called. We don't know who he called. But God calls as many as he chooses to call. But then there are chosen people out of that number that are called. So Abraham was the father of many nations. So as Jesus Christ being a light unto the Gentiles, so we have to be a light unto many different people. And as he was the suffering servant, we will suffer when we want to do right. They will talk about us when we do want to do right. They did it to him. But we have to go into all nations. Isaiah 15, 52 and 15. It says, See, my servant shall deal prudently. And we studied about being prudent, wisely, in a certain fashion, using wisdom and knowledge. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so he shall sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall consider. He shall sprinkle many nations. In other words, many different rulers. In other words, this name is going to be known throughout the world. Whereas they're trying to quench it here in America. This guy that's running for president in Britain, you remember I told you they put a mark vote up saying, I don't want to use the names that they talked about. But they were showing that they couldn't stop. They wasn't going to bar him from coming into their country. That was the example to us that we shouldn't bar people from coming into a country. No matter how big a buffoon or idiot that we are or perceive to be, we shouldn't bar other people. That would make us that way. And that's those names that they call him. So, in other words, he's welcome to come there. Just like you welcome to come to the church. God has to deal with you. God has to deal with the people that come to this nation for the wrong thing. But being the father of many nations, we allow God to choose that elect. We have to. As a parent, I have 6 children, all of them the same. None of them are different. None of them are different. Even though the children themselves, each one, and everybody has that, think that they may be the favorite child, that they may be a little bit better than the next one. But as a parent, we see that we don't discriminate with our children like that. That's the same with God. He loves us with the same love that he loved Jesus Christ. So we can't discriminate against any color, creed, nation, nationality, or anything. We can't. Not be children of God. That sprinkling, that's why he scattered the people, so that word would be reinforced and those little lights would preach that word everywhere they go. And he's going to give them more strength to preach that word. I was praying for those people that was in Britain's parliament that was saying these things. I pray for a lot of people that may not be Christians in this nation, but stands against the idiocy of the Christians of this nation. Because there's a lot of people in the church, but what Jesus' last act was, he cast the money changers out of the church. There are a lot of people in the church that has to be cast out of the church. In other words, but the only way we can do this is to preach them out. Preaching them by the word of God. That's what's going to drive them out. They'll go to the bigger bonds. In other words, they'll go to the mega churches where everything is nice and easy and they don't preach a refined Jesus Christ. They don't want any tribulation. They don't preach on sin. They don't preach. So let them grow up in those bigger barns. But the little flock, he tells a whole different thing. But we have to see this in many nations. Just as those other nations fell in the Arab Spring, we can see this great nation rising up to fall. We can see it. Like they say, the GOP is being destroyed. It's tearing apart. Well, that shows me the fracture in this nation. The fracture in this state. I tell you, I don't belittle or talk about against the governor. And he was on the news the other day talking about the taxes and the things he has to do. Because when he was making his statement about what he would do as he get elected, even some of the senators say, well, we didn't know the last governor lied to us and deceived us. And now we will have to do this to make things right. Sometimes you have to make those sacrifices. You have to buy it with your own blood, sweat, and tears. When he said come and buy without money, he's meaning that you have to pay the cost. You have to pay for it with sacrifices. It's not free. The gospel is free. That's what he said. That was another question this guy got tripped up on. The actual buying cost, it might be at the cost of your children turning against you. It might be that they never speak to you. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. When you lift up this gospel, it's going to be a lot of people not follow you. Being a Sabbath day keeper, do you know a lot of people follow different religions? But if you say you keep the Sabbath, a lot of people will try to find fault in you then, because that's a seal or a sign that you follow God. That Sabbath is a seal. God said that that was a seal or a sign that you can see. In Ezekiel, he says, sign them with this seal, Ezekiel. That's a seal upon you, those that keep the commandments of God. That commandment, thou shalt remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That shows that this far and no further. That's what you're standing upon. That's when the Pharisees decided to come with Jesus Christ. See, but that little sprinkling done got to me. That water he's cleansing, it's purging me. It's cleansing me, washing away my sin and causing me to stand up on the word. And it's precept upon precept, word upon word, here a little and there a little. That's sprinkling about. That's like you scatter something about. And somebody else is over here going to hear that. Somebody here going to hear that. Right now, a lot of refugees come into this country. They go back and tell their people, well, America's not so bad after all. Because all of the people are not like the people that we see on the news. They just like us. They in a fix. We ain't a fix in this nation. The 1% that drives this nation, represents this nation, is not how this nation is. There is a percentage of this nation that want to be like that 1% that's very hateful in this nation. But then God has it scattered about. If you go into your apartment complexes, if you go into your subdivisions, your schools, or anywhere, you'll find God has people everywhere. God has his people scattered about, just sprinkled in just like salt and pepper. But if they're allowing their light to so shine, God's going to have them permeate the whole area. And it's going to repel the others. So that sprinkling from a defiled conscience, and listen at this in Hebrews concerning him sprinkling. Like I say, as Jesus, are you following me here? As Jesus Christ sprinkles, it's an exhortation and warning. It says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 19th through the 25th verse, it says, therefore, brothers, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, that he has opened for us through the veil, that is to say, to his flesh. And since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse them from an evil conscience. Remember I told you, he has to purge us from our consciousness. That's why sometimes you do what you shouldn't do. That's why sometimes what you do or what some people do may not be what the next person in faith do. Not that it's right or wrong, it's just that you may be an immature Christian. You hadn't grown or that point, your faith hadn't reached that point yet. You may be of little faith. But if you would start walking on that little faith, it's going to lead to greater faith. You'll make better decisions. As time go by, as the number of years a lot of y'all have been in this church, can you see the improvement in your life from how you handle situations? Have your character grown a little? You should examine yourself. Things that you once thought was biblical and right, now you see it from a different viewpoint, a spiritual viewpoint. And once you get to a point, the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you into all truth. That's where he's bringing you to become perfect. In other words, mature, complete. But there are babes in Christ, so you have to feed them with the milk of the word. But a lot of them get in the church and they try to handle the meat of the word and it's too tough. They misunderstand it. They interpret it the wrong way and they go against Christianity because you're trying to say something or do something you don't quite understand. It's too complex for you. That's why sometimes you have to lay some problems aside and come back and pick them up later. You might understand them a little bit better. Have you ever been doing something and you got frustrated and you were upset, and then if you just leave it alone or whatever, when you come back later, you can really untangle it, you could do it a little bit better? See, as you grow in Christ, there's some situations, there's some things you can handle better later on in life. You don't get so angry. You're more temperate. Like I say, the people that follow this guy, and his, the reason they're that way and the reason he that way, he represents them. He loves to say anything that come into his mind. You can't say anything that come into your mind because your mind is what God has to change. That's what the 26th verse says. He'll give you a new heart. In other words, a new way of thinking. You can't just say anything that come into your mind because some anything comes into your mind. That's an evil conscience. That's from partaking of the tree of good and evil. We have to have a renewing of the mind. To allow the same mind to come in to us that's in Jesus Christ. That has to be shaped. So you stop saying just anything. You start throwing your mine out of gear sometime. Well, let me think before I say something. That's one thing about older people. They get tempered. They don't just rattle the first thing out of their mouth. And then you have to find the right words or the correct words to say some things. And then there are some things that are better not said. And then there's a lot of times that you're right, but by being right, you offend the person that you're talking to or whatever. So you just suffer and allow them to learn that through experience, and you just don't say nothing at the time because it's going to cause a division if I tell you this. So you can't receive the truth, as Jack Nicholson said on A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. So I'm not going to tell you the truth right now because it's going to hurt you. One day you'll be able to understand, so I'll just hold my peace. That's what the old song says. If I can just hold my peace, victory will be mine. You know, sometimes spouting off, you can cause yourself more problems than a little bit. That what was Peter's problem. He would always say what come into his mind. He would just jump up, Lord, this ain't going to happen to you. Lord, bid me to come to you. His mind, it was a good intent, but he wasn't thinking. He said, Lord, I'll die for you. He said, what, Peter, you don't know what you're saying right now. Because that night, Peter swore he didn't know him three different times. You have an evil conscience. See, that blood has to wipe away that guilt. So we have to, I heard R.C. Sproul talking on that one time. What do you do with your guilt? That's why we read down in further in 30 chapter 36 of Ezekiel, you'll see where you come to self-humiliation. When you start reflecting over some of the things that you've said and things, Peter was so hurtful that he had betrayed the Lord, he had went out. You humiliated yourself. Do you look back over your life and some of the things that you said to your parents or said to some people, you really shame you said this or did that? You come to that point where you don't like yourself, don't like that old self. You want a new self. You want to be regenerated. You want a new chance. Jesus gives us that hope. It's full assurance and hope in Christ that he can make this thing right. He's going to make it right. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. I turn away from what I was. I turn away from if you would just keep putting this sprinkle in my conscience and mind that I would do, I don't do. Thank God. See, Paul was wrestling with this. You have to. He said, I hadn't reached the mark yet. I'm pressing on. Don't give up, though. You can fall seven times, but keep getting up. Jesus is good. You don't feel. He's not. You can feel the Spirit in you. Don't you feel that you're on the precipice of something big happening in your life? That you're about to turn the corner? That he had given us hope. He had given the Gentiles hope. That he'll be that light. Don't darken that light. Muslims, you have a chance. Hispanics, you have a chance. Black people, you have a chance. Whatever nation you is, let nobody quench your hope in Jesus Christ. He's going to sprinkle and make everything right. You want, he said, draw near. In other words, there are a lot of people hid in Christ, and what they're waiting for is the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what creation is waiting for, the sons of God to start showing themselves. That's why we have to let our light so shine that men will see our light and they will give God the glory. But until then, we'll hid in Christ. He says, sprinkle from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us firmly hold the profession of our faith without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to spur one another to love and to good works. Let us not forsake the assembling together of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but let us exhort one another, especially as you see the day approaching, as you see that time getting close. So he's going to wash us in that water. He's sprinkling the water on you. It's coming a little bit at a time. It's like the man that was blind and he said, can you see? He said, well, I see men as trees. But Jesus had to kind of adjust it to make it get a little bit clearer. It's like looking through binoculars. When you first look, you might have to turn a little circles and knob for the image to come in clearly. Paul said, I see through a glass darkly. As you go along, it's going to become clearer and clearer to you. It became clearer to Job. He says, now I understand. Now I know better. As you're walking in the Word of God, don't waver. Keep forging and pressing ahead. You're going to suffer. It's going to be trials and tribulations. It's going to be setbacks. But we can't draw away. We have to draw near to God. Hebrews, the 7th chapter, tells us this. He says, for the law never made anything perfect, while on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we now continually draw near to God. And indeed, it was not without the taking an oath that Christ was made a priest. For those Levites who formerly became priests received the office without it being confirmed by an oath. But this one was designated with an oath through the one who said to him. And so this was God saying that Jesus was going to be that light. Hold on to that word, that he's going to be that light for the Gentiles. So don't let people keep telling you about the Jews, and they say, it's to all men, that all men would say. That all men would be. That's the promise God did make. That we are all sons of Abraham that are of faith. That's what unites us to Abraham, that he's the father of faith. Ishmael, that part of Ishmael that believed with faith, are children of God. They were hid in Christ, and Christ brings this to the forefront in a number of things. Hebrews 6, chapter 17 through the 20th verse, as we get closer to this, he says, in the same way, God, in his desire to know, to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeable nature of his purpose, intervened and guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to him for refuge. You remember I told you that Christ is our refuge. We're all refugees. So once you start hating refugees, you start hating yourself. We are all fleeing to Christ. Those people that's fleeing to America for a better hope, for a better chance to live that life, let us show that that is a good life. What the Americas stand for, what United States says, the premise is good. Now, don't allow people to destroy that premise. Social Security, Medicaid, the governmental programs, all those were set forth for the purpose of doing good, for the doing good to the elderly in the old age as they didn't work in the workforce and get out. All those programs were set aside for help. When you go to start the changing laws and things and changing principalities and things, then you get into a spiritual wickedness. You become an evil beast system. Don't let this nation become an evil beast system. We have to stand within to build up this nation, that it would be a nation representative of a people that Jesus Christ scattered to America, to make this as our home, but also that we wouldn't forget those that were left behind, that we would unite with Africa, that we would unite with South America, that we would unite with China, with Russia, that we would see the commonality that we all, this whole world, come from two people, Adam and Eve. That mankind is one, and that all souls belong to God. And that God has put us here for a purpose. He's sprinkling us. He's doing his will in our lives. That original purpose and intent is set forth. That we should love all men, and that we should make men in God's image and his likeness by his word, according to his word. That's why we only have his promises in the word of God to stand upon. So we come through the veil, that is through his flesh, through Christ, through that shed blood that establishes us in the faith, that grows us, that he's continually sprinkling day by day. That's why it says, forsake not the assembling together yourselves. He has set teachers and preachers in the church. And so when you go to Bible study, when you come to preaching services, he's going to give you a little bit more to make it through that week. You could be a suffering servant during that time. You're going to suffer hardship. There's going to be different problems. But just hold on. He's sprinkling you. Allow the marinade. Allow the seasoning.